God has a word for me today. He has a word for you today. And, you know, our attitude when we come to hear God speak, I mean, that's what we get out of worship is also what we put into it. And so we want to hear God speak this morning. So I want to encourage you, grab a Bible this morning, open it up with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 as we're turning there. We've been studying the doctrine of godliness all year long. And just lately, we've been focusing on the spiritual disciplines that help us to be godly and to live godly lives, and we should be working out our salvation, the salvation that God worked into our lives. Paul would tell Timothy to exercise yourself for godliness. There's things you and I should be doing that are evidence. Listen, those things don't save us, but they're evidence that we have been saved. They're the fruit that's working out, and we're seeing that. And we want to work out and grow in our faith. And there's a spiritual discipline that we're going to consider today. It's the discipline of witnessing, bearing witness, testifying of who God is and what God has done in our life. And we have a story to tell. We have a message to share. We have a hope that's in our hearts. We've got good news to tell the world. There's plenty of bad news out there, you know? I mean, just click on any link, right? And bad news everywhere. Fake news, they love to tell us all the bad news, right? There's good news to share out there, and it's the message of the gospel that God, listen, took on flesh. His son came, and he incarnated him in flesh. He came and put on flesh, listen, so that he could go to a cross and die on a cross for our sins and pay the penalty that we deserve. The wages of sin is death. But God said, I'll take that penalty for you. And I'll offer a sacrifice which is acceptable to me. And because he did that and was buried and rose again, there's a hope, a living hope for any and all who will say, God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. And I see Jesus is the one who died for me. And I want to ask him to come into my life and change my life. That's the message, listen, that we get to go share with the world around us, that God can change their lives. He's changed ours. I'm grateful for the one who came and brought that word to me, that witness to me, that bore witness to me. How about you? Amen. Now, as I said last week, listen, there's a spiritual discipline that we practice. We practice it every Sunday when we gather here. It's the practice of worshiping. It's something we should do regularly. It's a reminder to us to encourage one another in the faith and to be encouraged and to corporately, as the body representing the Lord, testify of that we're different and distinct community from the world around us, but there's a spiritual discipline that we then practice when we go out from here, and that is the spiritual discipline of witnessing. And so we want to bear witness. Remember, Jesus said, church, we are salt, the salt of the earth, right? We're the light of the world. We have that responsibility to bear that witness. It's not, well, we could do it. No, we are that. The question is, are we being faithful as salt and as light? And we have a responsibility to do that as a spiritual discipline, to bear witness. And Paul's going to speak of that here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You know, Peter would say over in 1 Peter chapter 2 that we are to be a proclaiming people. Realize this. Listen, we once weren't the people of God. Praise God, now we are the people of God. We once, listen, hadn't received mercy. Praise God, now we have received mercy. We once were in darkness. Praise God, we're in the light. Peter says, listen, we should be proclaiming that, testifying of that, because that's not just good news for us. It can be good news for other people too. And so as God puts people in our sphere of influence, our circle of influence, where you draw your boundaries throughout the week, God's placed you there to have opportunities to speak to those who need to know, listen, that Jesus came. And God loved us by sending him, and he came to save us from our sins. Now, it's the reason why this spiritual discipline is the last one we consider, because, listen, if we don't practice the other ones, we probably won't practice this one. But if we only practice this one and not the others, we're oftentimes just going to be a hypocrite. Because it wouldn't be right to say, listen, not practice the spiritual discipline of reading God's word and hearing God speak, and then go out to someone and say, you need to hear what God has to say, if we don't listen ourselves, right? Or if we're not practicing the spiritual discipline of praying, how can we really call on someone else or invite someone else to pray a sinner's prayer and put their faith and trust and voice that to God? It wouldn't make sense, would it? And so we're focusing on this spiritual discipline last today because it's also one of the most important ones, because if we're really serious about our faith, as we ought to be, and we're working this out, then we want to share and bring a message of hope to a world around us that's in darkness, that needs help, that's desperate. And the answer, listen, as much as we appreciate the changes that are going to take place in Washington, D.C., that's not the answer to fixing America's problems. The gospel is. Now, hopefully they'll help, and we'll have some God-fearing leaders that will help along the way. But we know ultimately the true answer is the Lord, and turning to Him and getting our lives right with Him. And it's as we look into the Word this morning, it's a mirror. It's a mirror that we look into, as James would say. Now, don't look into it today and walk away and forget what you saw, okay? If we're working out, listen, I know this, you gym rats. Listen, I used to be one too, right? You can just imagine Pastor Chris, Herculean Pastor Chris, like in the gym, you know, with all those mirrors and just flexing. Right, just imagine that for a moment. Okay, you got that out of your mind? Oh, Lord, help me. Okay, I know what you said. Okay. Where we're looking in the mirror, flexing today. Am I doing the spiritual disciplines, exercising for godliness? As I see who God is, as I see who I am, and God's working on me, He's working on you. And in each of these disciplines, am I practicing these things? Am I working out? Is it evident? Because this one's really important. Because we have a message that they need to hear, desperately need to hear. That God sent His Son Jesus to bring us hope. And I want us to understand what motivated Paul, what motivates you, what should motivate me. Listen, to bear witness, to testify, not be ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God to change a life. It's changed ours, and we shouldn't be hailing it, sharing it with others around us. So I want you to stand with me in honor of the word of the Lord. I'm just going to read this short section here. I'm actually going to read verses 24 through 27, though I'm going to back up and preach from 19 down through. So just follow me as he concludes here. We've already read some of this with Brother Winston a few moments ago. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. For everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Father, we're running a race of faith, and Lord, I pray we would discipline our bodies each and every day in that pursuit. And Father, that we would never be disqualified, and Lord, we want to run the race so that we can offer to others the prize that you have for us. Lord, help us to run to win. Run to win not just the prize of Jesus Christ and the upward calling you have for us in Him, but also to run to win others to you, to realize that there's hope in Jesus. That, Lord, He can change our lives. He can transform our marriages. God, He can bring healing. He can help us with relationships with our children and with others. And God, may we experience that, we pray. And especially, Lord, I pray for those watching online or listening on the radio, Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would put a desire within their hearts to gather with a body of believers in person, Lord, as much as is possible, Lord, so that we can encourage one another in this race of faith, and we can help one another, that we all will win the prize of the upward call in Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Paul is writing to us, and as he's writing to us this morning, he's inviting you, inviting me, listen, to run this race of faith, and to run it in such a way that we win. And he's going to emphasize that. I'm going to emphasize that in just a moment in verses 19 through 23. And as we do that, there's some phrases you might want to underline and circle in your Bible. I always encourage you to do that. They're just mental reminders sometimes when we go back and read the Word, and we see things that just jump off the page, and we should allow the Spirit of God to, why is that there? Why should that impact me? How should that change my life and the way I live? And one of the things he's going to emphasize today is about winning, witnessing, and winning others to Christ, to win some, to win them. I don't know about you. Does anyone like to lose? Raise your hand. Does anybody like to lose? No, I don't like to lose. You can ask my family. Listen, we play Scrabble for blood, okay? We love board games, and we play games, and man, we do not like to lose. I like to win. Amen? In fact, I don't know if you watched football games yesterday or today. You know, I suspect that when you look at the people in the stands, I bet that when they went to the stadiums, I don't think they said to each other, I hope we lose today. Right? I mean, really, I don't believe the coaches do that. I don't believe the players just go, man, I'm really looking forward to losing today, coach. Let's go as we go. No one wants to be a loser. We want to win. We want to win in life. And, you know, winning's good. I like when I see my team win. I like when I see my kids win, when they have successes. Amen? I like when God's people win victories over sin, win victories over relationships that have been broken and experience the healing power of the gospel, when people understand the power of forgiveness and grace and mercy, and not just for themselves, but for others. That's awesome to see. I like winning. Winning's, someone would say, huge, right? I like winning, okay? But what's the most important thing to win in life? To win more stuff? To win positions of power or prestige? Paul would emphasize, and I think it's over in the Old Testament, the wisdom of Solomon, I'll highlight in just a moment, and other passages, that what we should be winning, listen, is other people to the Lord. Because we've experienced the victory in Christ, I want other people to experience that victory. It's not limited to just one group of people. Praise God, it wasn't limited to just the Jews. Amen? This is a good news for all the world, Jew and Gentile, for everyone to experience victory through the shed blood of Christ and a life transformed by the power of the gospel. Paul's just a faithful witness. Everywhere he goes, that's what he's wanting to do. He's just wanting, listen, to share with them the hope that's in his heart, that what God has done in his life and changing him, transforming his life. And, you know, in this chapter, if you begin reading in the beginning of chapter 9, he really presents some arguments that really substantiate why the church should support his ministry and support him and the work God has called him to do. And he appeals to the Old Testament, the New Testament, different passage, well, actually what Jesus would say in the New Testament. And as he highlights those things, there were some who were deliberately not supporting his ministry and didn't think they should. And what Paul would say is, listen, I'm doing God's work, and that work has actually come to you and reached you, and it's reaching beyond you, and you should be supporting that. And as we read this morning, what is his mission? What is it that Paul is all about? Well, if you hold your place here, and you turn back just a couple chapters over to chapter 2, listen to what he said over in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Brethren, when I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. Listen to this. For I determined not to know anything among you except this, Jesus Christ and him crucified. When he was with them, what Paul wanted them to know and discover was one primary thing, Jesus Christ and him crucified. Why tell people the gospel? Well, why tell people the good news? Because again, there's plenty of bad news. And the bad news isn't just in society. Listen, it's all the result of sin. And it's the result of sinful choices and rebellion against God and the need to surrender to the Lord. Paul would say over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, over in verses 9 through 11, listen to this. He says, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him, the Lord. Why? Because we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. But knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Why would we persuade men about the reality of hell? I don't know about you, but I don't want anybody to experience it. I personally don't want to experience it. That's why I place my faith and trust in Christ. But I don't want others to experience as well. That's why we witness. That's why we testify. That's why we bear witness of what God has done in our life, man. Listen, when we realize we're the bottom of the bucket, God can save anyone above us, amen? And he can. And I have a responsibility, you have a responsibility to tell the truth about Jesus. In fact, let me just give you one more verse. Maybe you not know this wisdom over in Proverbs. Solomon wrote about this. Over in Proverbs chapter 24, just hear what he would say over in Proverbs chapter 24. It says, deliver those who are drawn towards death. Hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, surely we did not know this, does not he who weighs the hearts consider it? He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? Will he not render to each man according to his deeds? I mean, the Solomon, the wise man said, listen, there's people on the wrong path. They're going to hell. They're being dragged to death. They're stumbling. Like, they're out. They don't have a sober mind, right? They can't think straight. And they're going towards death and destruction. And our responsibility is to stop them. to step in. You would see it in Jude snatching some. Even listen, if your clothes get a little smelt like fire because you're pulling them out, rescuing people who are in danger. All throughout Scripture, you find these pictures that we have a responsibility to bear witness to them, to testify, to tell you, listen, there's hope. Turn around. Jesus would say parable after parable. Listen, you know, the parable of the great marriage. Listen, a marriage banquet, to go and invite as many people because there's plenty of seats. And there's opportunities. Listen, they're all around us. And God expects us to be bearing witness of what Christ has done in our life, what God has done in your life, the grace that you've experienced. It's not just for you. It's not just for me. Praise God. It's available to any and all who call on the name of the Lord. Paul said, this is the one thing. This is the mission that I had. And my mission was marked by this. I wanted to reach people and win them. He says it back in verse 19. Listen to how he says this. And I want you to just focus on this as we go down through this. And you can circle this. I'll highlight it as we go through. For though I'm free from all men, I've made myself a servant to all. I highly recommend you underline that. That I might win, there's the first time, might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew. Why? That I might win the Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law. Why? That I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without the law, as without the law, not being without the law towards God, but under the law toward Christ. Why? That I might win those, there's the fourth time he said that, those who are without the law. To the weak I became as weak. Why? That I might win, there it is again, the weak, that I have become all things to all men. Why? That I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker of it with you. I mean, listen, the gospel's good for me, it's good for you, but listen, it's not just good for only us. It's good for everyone. And Paul had a mission, a passion. Listen, I want to win some. I want to win all. I think Paul did too. I think he knew that the gospel, listen, it was the power of God for salvation for the Jew and Gentiles. He went to the Jews first when he went into a community, the synagogue, preached there, and if they wouldn't accept it, then he went to the Gentiles. But the news is, the good news is good for everybody. And we need to share it because everybody needs to hear it. And so my responsibility, your responsibility, is that we should be trying to win them. We should have a winning mission in life. Something that we're living for. And that is seeing others, listen, whose lives have been impacted by sin and choices in life, realize, no, God can do something. He can change my life if I'll trust him and I'll give him my life. Paul says, listen, we should be motivated to do it. Why? Because we know heaven's real and we know hell's real. You believe hell's real? Sometimes I don't think we believe that. You know what? A lot of times some would say, you know what? We're just practicing universalists. A universalist means everybody's going to make it to heaven. Beloved, not everybody's going to make it. Jesus himself said, listen, the road to hell is broad. It's a broad way. And narrow is the way to heaven. Right? That's a sad thing to realize. Not everyone's going to make it. In fact, most won't, according to that parable Jesus gave. But what is important to know is this. Hell's real, just like heaven's real. And because of that, we should be persuading them, wanting to see them saved. Saved for eternal life and saved from the wrath of come that is going to come. And when we have that winning mission about what my life is about, I realize this. Listen, the reason you have life, the reason you and I have breath this morning, if we're a born-again believer, is this. So that we can bear witness of what God can do in your life. That's the reason Paul would say, listen, in Philippians, he would speak to that church and he would say, listen, you know, to live is Christ and to die is gain. I mean, he much more wanted, was ready to go to heaven, but he said, no, I need to be here still for someone else's sake. And those someone else's are all around you throughout the week where God has planted you. The reason you have that job, the reason you have that home, the reason you're on that ball team, the reason you're part of that club, listen, the reason that you have that opportunity, listen, as a born-again believer, is to bear witness of God's grace and just how good he's been to you and to me and the mercy that we found in Christ. Now, when I live my life and realize that, listen, my mission is to bear witness. As a born-again believer, I'm not my own. I don't belong to myself. I've been bought with a price. So have you, the blood of Christ. And so realizing that, how can I be effective in that mission of winning others to him? Well, Paul would say, listen, we need to have a winning focus. You noticed I've said this five times. Hopefully you circled it there in verse 19, verse 20, verse 21, verse 22. Five times he said it over and over again, that I might win, that I might win, that I might win, that I might win, that I might win. All these, winning them to the Lord. We should want to win. Do you believe we can win? Paul's going to say over in 1 Corinthians 15, praise be to God who's given us victory through Jesus Christ. The gospel gives us victory. We live, listen, we should, Christians should not live with their heads down. We should live looking up because our God gives us victory through Jesus Christ. Listen, can hell stop the advance of the gospel and the advance of the kingdom? No. Jesus said it can't. The gates of hell can't stop it. Why do we act like that and live like that? Why do we give in to the world? Why do we not speak boldly? We have the truth, amen? Our God has spoken truth. We can speak it boldly. We don't have to be ashamed of the gospel. The power of the God is in the gospel. It can change any and every life. Paul would say that. Listen, Timothy's testimony in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 12 through 17 there. He says, listen, I'm the bottom. It's a trustworthy statement deserving all acceptance. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, among whom I am the foremost. I am the worst sinner of all sinners, Paul said. And he did this as an example for others. Now, you know what? If he can change me, he can change you. That should be our perspective in life, that we might win others. Now, the key to winning is this. I mean, I love seeing my team win. I was so glad to see NC State win yesterday. I know some of y'all like that dark blue team, Duke, to win every now and then. And then that other team, Clemson. I know, just that's not the one you were thinking of. Yeah. I want to win. I want to see our team win. Win souls to Jesus. And that's what is happening this morning. Listen, we are those, listen, who found victory in Christ. And we live each day in that victory. Listen, don't let the gospel just be, I heard it one day when I was a little kid and it changed my life then, but it didn't change my life all through the days since then. No, no, no. The gospel, listen, daily we are dying to self and finding new life in Christ. As living sacrifices, we're to die to self and find new life in Christ. That sin that so easily ensnares us, we die to that sin and find new life in Christ. We daily pick up the cross, denying ourselves, taking up that cross, listen, and following Him. The gospel is just not, you know, I heard the preacher preach the gospel and I got saved at a tent meeting and that's it. No, no, no. I hear it every day. I need to preach the gospel to myself and remind myself, I'm a wretched sinner. Praise God, He's an awesome Savior. And He's changing me. And it's evident to those around me. I'm bearing witness of that in my life. We have that responsibility. But you got to have a winning vision. You got to believe. I want to see people win. Paul expected to see people won to him. Whether it was a Jew, whether it was not a Jew, whether it was those under the law or not under the law, whether those who were weak, he just wanted to see people won to the Lord. And see, I can do that. We can go out there and expect victory because it's assured in Christ. Do you realize we are more than conquerors through Him who died for us? Greater is He who's in us than the one who's in the world. Victory is assured. Let's live like it and let's go win people. Jesus, Paul expected to do that. Now listen, I know some of y'all coach T-ball and you don't say to your team just before you go out there, okay, let's go out there and lose. No, no. When I was in the Army, I can tell you what, a general, my commander, my battalion commander, listen, when we went out, he didn't tell the officers, hey, listen, let's lead our troops, we're going to go out and lose this battle. No, we expect to win. We should do so as well in the faith. Listen, here's the assurance. Can I just give you an assurance today? Our responsibility is just to bear witness. Whether they respond or not, we win just by bearing witness to the light. This is for the gospel's sake, Paul would say. We're bearing witness. Now, it's good to see them one to Christ, but at the end of the day, listen, let me just help you, free you, that it's not hanging dependent upon all that we do, me and you. The Spirit's working as well. We may not see the work of the Spirit, but the Spirit is working in ways that we can't imagine. It's amazing how the Spirit brings people across individuals' paths to show some light, just to shine a little light in their darkness. In fact, sometimes it works like this. We have these cards out in the hallway, and it says out there that God is not silent. Here's hope. And they're viral verses. They're just verses. On one side, it says South River Baptist Church. But on the other side, we have 8 or 10 different verses that talk about hope, hope in the Lord. I take these sometimes. Listen, I have a pocket full, and then I have a stack in my car. And like if I'm at the gas station feeling gas, I'll put it in the credit card reader after I go through it, and I'll leave that for someone. Or if I'm in a hospital, I'll put them all over the place. And sometimes when I go out to dinner, I'll leave one there or give someone to someone. Just an opportunity. I'm just salt in the earth. I'm just bearing witness. And sometimes when the clerk, the waitress comes up, I may say, hey, listen, we're going to thank God for this food. Is there anything we can pray for you? Is there anything that we can pray on for you? And just finding an opportunity, salting the earth, never knowing how far that conversation may go, and sharing what Christ has done for us. I do this when I go frequently. Listen, when I stop and I'm buying something, or when I'm at food line going through the line, checkout line, or if I'm buying something at Bojangles, because there ain't nothing like Bojangles. Anyways, going through, and I know y'all all like that other chicken. It's not open on Sunday. Bojangles, man. Anyways, when I'm witnessing, I might say to someone, I might see their tag, hi, Sarah, has anyone told you today that Jesus loves you? No, no one's ever told me that. Oh, and I've heard that frequently. That's sad in America, right? No one's ever told me Jesus loves me. Well, can I tell you how much he loved you? And can I tell you it's important to know that you're loved, because we live in a world, there's a lot of hate. And it's good to know there's love and it's available. And if they say, no, oh yeah, I know that. I say, well, where do you worship? And have you told anyone else that God loves them? If he loves you, isn't it good to tell other people that? Listen, that's our responsibility. These are opportunities. And then as the Lord opens the door to then say, hey, can I tell you how I know I've discovered God loves me? Man, this is a great opportunity. Christmas is a great opportunity to tell others and share with them what Christ has done for us, to bear witness, listen, to win them, that we might win them, that we might win them, that I might win, that I might win, that I might win. I've become all things to all men. Why? That I might by all means save some. Just stop and think right now. Who has God put in my circle of influence at work, in my neighborhood, students, listen, in my class? Who is it in that circle? If I draw that circle and name 3 or 4 or 5 different people, who is it that I know they don't know the Lord? And they may be the ones really that are annoying to you. Can I just be honest? Those that, listen, really frustrate you. Or that persnickety boss. Now, no amen, Pastor Scott. Okay? All right? Listen, God put them there and he put you there. Why? To bear witness and to tell them there's hope. And when you go through a difficulty and a hardship, to bear witness to them, let me tell you how God's sustaining me and strengthened me with grace and how he's doing that. And to bear witness. We have this responsibility individually and corporately as the body of believers. And Paul says, listen, I have this mindset. Here's the key. Here's how this happens. It will not happen unless you focus on what he says in verse 19. And then when he focused there in verses 24 through 27, when he talked about running the wind. Do you have a strategy? You don't want to be disqualified. You want to win the prize. And we're not running for something that's an imperishable crown or a perishable crown. We're running for an imperishable crown. We're running to a finish line that's at the throne of God. We're going to run this race of faith. That's what we're going to study in the new year, by the way. Study the book of Hebrews. Running the race of faith. And faith that endures. And I hope you'll be here every week to hear God speak. We need that. We need bold faith right now. Paul says this. Here's the secret to winning. Here's the secret to looking out as an opportunity to have a vision, even to look for the opportunity to win. You have to do what he said in verse 19. I've made myself a servant to all. I underline that and then I draw a line down to verse 22. I've become all things to all men. Why? That I might by all means save some. You see, when I embrace a servant mentality, I surrender my rights. This is Paul's strategy. How do I do this? I let go of the freedom I have in Christ for the sake of someone else. I have all the freedom in the world. Christ has set us free. Praise the Lord for that. And we can rejoice in that. But I embrace greatness in the kingdom of God by serving others, putting their needs before my own, esteeming others better than myself, being like Christ, Paul would say in Philippians chapter 2, having that mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, a servant mentality. And that means, listen, it's going to cost me something, and I'm going to surrender something, and I'm going to give something up. Why? To win some. To win some to Christ. It's not just being winsome, having a winsome spirit to win some. It's also the things that we do so that people can be saved. It's things we do individually. It's things we do corporately. It's a strategy, listen, that when you and I get a little lower, we get to testify because the world doesn't want to see anybody. Everybody wants to elevate themselves. But no, when you're in the office and you're willing to be the servant, willing to bear witness to others. When someone, listen, makes demands, we're just like our Savior. Even when we endure hardship, as 1 Peter would tell us, and we follow in the footsteps of Jesus, what would Jesus do? Well, even when he was reviled, he didn't revile back. He trusted the Lord. And he let God, what seemingly was a loss, was the greatest victory for everyone. The cross, the death, the burial, and praise God, the resurrection. You see, individually, we go throughout the week. Now, corporately, this past Tuesday, in the midst of all the snow, we still went to the mountains. There still was an opportunity to bear witness as a body of believers. Praise God that we went and a team went and we prayed for those who went. And the Lord's opened more doors for us to continue to be a channel of blessing. So much so, on December the 20th, that Friday, we're going to go up to the mountains. There's a school that's up there, an elementary school that's not been loved on, cared for. No one's really gone and adopted them in any way. And praise the Lord, the door's open for us to do that. A channel to be a channel of blessing. God's blessed us. In fact, some have given us resources and they want to challenge the church to match $10,000 to help us go. 170 kids. Listen, there's people, they've lost homes. We went, Pastor Scott can tell you, he went into one area where there's just like silt. And there's one home standing. Pastor Scott went to that one home and the gentleman said, It's all gone. My house, the only one standing. The only one standing. People living in tents. You've seen it. Well, even if the FEMA doesn't want to acknowledge it, it's true. All right? People living desperate. And you know what? Some just grateful, man. They got a hot meal for one day. And it wasn't a hot dog, man. It was good. Holy bird chicken. Amen. And we bless them. Well, we're going to go and do something for this school on December the 20th and bless the family, bless the children, bless those that are teachers that are there that need encouragement, need help, need hope. Church, we're the body of Christ. We go bear witness corporately. But we also do it individually throughout the week where God's placed us. What would happen, listen, just this Christmas, if you stop and think, just think of two people that you could be praying for earnestly for them to take a step closer to God. May work with you again, maybe your neighbor. Maybe that clerk that you always see at Food Lion or Publix or wherever you shop. No public service announcements here. You know, I'm just telling you. Wherever you go, like you are always there and you know them and they know you. How do you seize that opportunity to bear witness and be a witness for Christ? We got something to tell them, y'all. And not just something from 20 years ago when God saved me. No. Something today. Let me tell you what Christ has done in my life. You see, our faith is real. We're working it out. We should have something to share all the time. Or as the psalmist would say, we sing a new song to the Lord. That doesn't mean we sing a new novel song necessarily. It just means maybe a new freshness of that grace and mercy that we've experienced that day. Man, I just got to share someone what God has done. I've got to share this with someone else. And being salt and being light. And it's a discipline we should look to do. We should practice this. We should not be ashamed to testify. You know, I mean, everybody, what is Christmas really all about? Well, hey man, it's a great opportunity to tell him. Tell him who he is and what he's done. To be intentional to share why Christ came. Why that baby was born. That child was born. But listen, a son was given. Do you realize that? That the government's going to rest upon his shoulders, as Isaiah chapter 9 will say. That of his kingdom, there will be no end. He's going to reign forever and ever. That kingdom is right here, right now. He reigns and rules in my heart. I've bent my knee. I've acknowledged he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I used to run my little kingdom, my little fiefdom, and every now and then I want to pick up the scepter and keep ruling it. But no, it's so much better to put it down and surrender to him. And then invite others to do the same thing and to surrender to him. You see, we offer an invitation at the end of the service for individuals who haven't surrendered to Christ yet. And the Spirit of God's convicted you to realize I need to be saved. I need to put my trust in him as my Lord and as my Savior and ask him to save me. But we also, listen, have an invitation that's open to anyone to get on the altar and pray. Say, God, you know what? I've not been loosening my lips. They've been buttoned up. I've not been testifying, bearing witness of what you've done, just how good you are. God, forgive me. He's merciful. He's gracious. But the people he's putting in your path, listen, are so that you and I can relate to them that he is good. And they ought to taste for themselves and see God is good.